Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come, having loved his own who were with him in this world. He loved them to the very end. And Jesus got up from the table. He took off his outer robe, and he tied a towel around his waist. And then he poured water in a basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel. He came to Simon Peter, who said to them, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Now, after he had washed their feet, he put on his robe, he returned to the table, and he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've set you an example that you should do as I have done to you."
After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And the disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. So one of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him and asked, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." And so when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. Now after he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. Jesus continued, "Little children, I am only with you a little while longer. So I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." But Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times."
Jesus said to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. I will not leave you orphaned. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, and because I live, you will live also. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and my Father is in me, and you in me, and I in you. Those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father also, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to them."
Jesus continued, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. I have called you friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
Now, after Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come to glorify the Son, so that the Son may glorify you. I ask not on behalf of only these ones, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I in them, you in me, that they may completely be one.
After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden. So Judas, too, brought a detachment of soldiers together with the police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came with lanterns and torches and weapons. But Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked, Whom are you looking for? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus replied, I am he. Now Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, Put your sword back in its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that my Father has given me? So the soldiers and their officers and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. And first they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people.
Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter was standing outside. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the woman who guarded the gate and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, You're not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it, warming themselves. And Peter also was standing with them, warming himself.
Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answered, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. So why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said. When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, Is that how you answer the high priest? And Jesus answered, If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest.
Now Simon Peter was still standing, warming himself. They asked him, You are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and he said, I am not. One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, Did I not see you in the garden with him? And again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, the cock crowed.
Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. And Pilate summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." So Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king, and for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" Now, after he had said this, he went out to the Jews and again told them, "I find no case against this man, but you have a custom that I release someone to you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" And they shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him up in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing out to you the one that I find no case against." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." And the leaders of the Jews answered him, "We have a law. According to the law, he ought to die because he claimed to be the Son of God. If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar's. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself up against the emperor." Now when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside. He sat on the judge's bench, a place that is called Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to be crucified.
So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him, with two others, one on either side, and with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the inscription was written in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the king of the Jews,' but write, 'This man said, I am king of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
Now when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, They took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but we'll cast lots to see which one of us will get it." After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop, and they lifted it up to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit.
Now after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was also a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate to let him come and take away the body of Jesus. So Pilate gave him permission. So he came and removed the body. And Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus by night, also came and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes weighing 100 pounds. So they took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in the linen cloths, according to the burial customs of the Jews. Now, there was a garden in the place where he was crucified. And in the garden, there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
The Passion of the Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.